verses 9 to 13. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done.
Good morning. So glad to see everybody today, especially those of you who may be visiting with us. We're so grateful that you have taken time out of your life and out of your busy schedules to come and be with us. We know this day and time we're all busy going here and there and doing this and doing that, but it's important that we take the time of our out of our life to come and be with the people of God and to offer some time that we might worship God, focus on Him and His Word and praising Him and glorifying Him. So we're glad you've come. And if you're visiting, we'd like you to come back and be with us again. Tonight we meet at 5 o'clock. We have Bible classes for all ages, and Wednesday nights we meet at 7. We also have Bible classes for all ages, and I'll mention this, in a couple of weeks we'll have a gospel meeting starting up. Brother Roger Shouse will be speaking in that meeting, and we all know Roger. He's a great preacher, does a fantastic job, and you will be benefited if you come to that meeting. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Come, bring an open mind, bring a Bible. Bring a notepad and take notes, and bring your questions if you got them. Roger would be more than happy to discuss them. I'd be more than happy to discuss questions today about anything you see or hear. So thank you so much for coming. As you can see, we're going to be talking about Simon the Sorcerer. What a great story that is in the book of Acts, the first half of the 8th chapter there. Simon was a sorcerer, and I guess we should start right there and define what a sorcerer is. A sorcerer, in biblical speak, was a pretender to magical arts. Notice the word pretender there. That's actually the definition when you look it up. A pretender to magical arts. He pretended to have power that he did not have. And as a result, of course, he was able to convince a lot of people to follow him. But he made a change. In fact, let's just look at the early verses here, verses 4 through 8. This is earlier on before Brother Eric's reading here. It says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and it was great joy in that city." I wanted to bring those verses in because that reminds us of a gospel meeting. A great joy. Preaching of the gospel, souls coming to Christ, people being convinced and converted. And that's what's happening here in the city of Samaria. Philip goes down there, Philip the evangelist, goes down there and preaches Christ. And his signs aren't fake. He's not like Simon. His are real. His are true. And people are being healed. And Simon learns the truth, and he makes a change. If you drop down here to verse 12 and 13, it says, "When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God," that is the reign of God, the rule of God, "and the name of Jesus Christ," the authority of Christ. You see, God reigns and rules through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when they believed that, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself, this sorcerer, Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. That tracks very nicely with the Great Commission, by the way. Notice it says Philip was preaching, and then he believed it, and he was baptized. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Great Commission? In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world," he said, "preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned." So notice how nicely that tracks with the Great Commission. But it isn't very long. We read where Simon is converted here, but it isn't very long that Simon falls back into his old ways. He's tempted. He hears the call of the past. And that's the topic of our lesson this morning, the call of the past. And he hears that call and he answers that call and he falls right back into sin. And experience teaches us that that can happen to any one of us at any time. That's the reason this is recorded. I'm convinced that's the reason this story is recorded, because what happened to Simon can happen to you and I. We sometimes look askew at Simon. We look down our noses at Simon, but Simon is me and Simon is you. The things that led him away can lead us away when we hear the call of the past, you see. We need to be very wary. We need to learn the lessons of the story of Simon the sorcerer, of his conversion to Christ, and then of his falling away, and of his being restored back to Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a little look at his story this morning and see if we can learn some lessons that can help us when we hear that call of the past. And I want to be very clear, when I say past, I'm talking about your past sins, the past sinful life. You know, every one of us were sinners. The Bible says that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every person in this room, the one standing right here in front of you too, was a sinner. Done things we shouldn't have done, said things we shouldn't have said, thoughts that shouldn't have been in our heads. We sinned and we needed Jesus. And we heard that message just like Simon did. We believed and we were baptized, but the call of the past keeps knocking at our door. So let's think about that for just a little while this morning. And of course, the obvious point here is that our past sins often do call us back, don't they? I think if we were honest in our more sober moments, we would all say, yeah, that's true. Our past sins do call us back. Look with me here at verses 14 through 19. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Let me stop there. Peter and John are two apostles, and only the apostles could pass on miraculous gifts. They had received those gifts on the day of Pentecost, and only they had the power to lay their hands on somebody and pass those gifts on. And we'll see that here in just a moment. But that's why they sent Peter and John, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they had not received any miraculous outpouring of the Spirit yet, except for Philip. He had it. He was preaching. But none of the other Samaritans had received this, you see. Then they, the apostles, verse 17, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, there's how the gifts were given, by the laying on of the apostles' hands. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Notice what he wants. He doesn't want miraculous power. He wants the apostles' power. I want to have the power they have. I want to be able to lay my hands on somebody and pass that miraculous ability on, you see. Now, Simon is hearing the call of the past. I want you to think about how much attention he had. This is what he's missing. This is why the past is calling out to him. When he was the sorcerer in town, he had received a great deal of attention. Now let's go back to that reading here in verse 9. And look with me here, verses 9, 10, and 11. There was a certain man called Simon. This is before he became a Christian, you see. He previously practiced sorcery. Remember, he's a pretender. That's what a sorcerer is, a pretender to magical arts. He previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria. You see where he was? Oh, that's Simon. He's really something. He amazes me. He astonishes me, those tricks that he can perform. And Simon has given that up, you see, to become a Christian. He's given that up, and by giving that up, he's lost that attention. The people are no longer astonished by Simon. He's lost that, you see. And not only that, not only does he astonish the people, but he claims that he's someone great. Look at me. Look at me. I'm someone great. I have powers. I can do things that you can't do. And yet all the while, he's a pretender. That's the reason, by the way, he was converted. He saw the difference between the real and the fake. He was a fake, but the apostles were not fakes. Philip was not a fake, and he could tell the difference, you see. But it says, it goes on in verse 10, to whom they all gave heed. Once again, look, here's his past. This is his past. Everybody looked to Simon. Everybody paid attention to Simon. Everybody listened to Simon, you see. He's the center of attention. And they said, this man is the great power of God. He is somebody. And they heeded him. That means they listened to him. They paid attention to him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And Simon has given that up to embrace Jesus Christ. But now when he sees what the apostles can do, and he sees that they have real power, the past comes knocking at his door. Opportunity, Simon. Oh, if you could just be like the apostles. Oh, if you could just go back to the past and get that attention again. Get all that influence again. Get all that power again. And so to him, this is a matter of opportunity. And the past calls back to him. And you might say, using biblical language here, it was the pride of life, wasn't it? You know, that's the way the devil tempts us. Influence. I've lost the people's attention, and I want it back. And that's what appealed to Simon. But think about us. What is it that calls to you from the past? I doubt that there was anybody in this room who was a sorcerer. I doubt any of us have that kind of temptation. But what is the call of the past for you? You know, with some, it may be the literal taste of that which we miss. I used to drink alcohol, and oh, how I miss the taste of alcohol, you see. I used to take drugs, and the taste and the sense of partaking of that and what that does to me and how that makes me feel, oh, how I miss that. Oh, and you know, the pull of those things are very strong. I had a brother who was an alcoholic. I surely did. And he could not. He just could not break loose. And I remember him saying, you know, when I stop drinking, my stomach just burns inside. And the only thing that'll solve that, the only thing that'll ease that burning is alcohol, you see. And so it calls. Don't think for a second that if you've never had that as an issue, if alcohol or drugs have never been an issue for you, understand, to us it seems like not a big deal, but to somebody who's been there, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It pulls. It calls. And we would call that the lust of the flesh. In Simon's case, it was the pride of life. But if it's alcohol, if it's the literal taste of sin, we would call that the lust of the flesh. Maybe, here's another one, maybe it's the thrill of that one in a million shot to win the big one, you know. I still remember several years back when they finally legalized gambling in Indiana. Oh, they told us this was the panacea. This was going to solve everything. If we legalize gambling, there won't be any more chuck holes in the road. How's that working out? If we legalize gambling, why, the schools will have all kinds of money. How's that working out? Huh? Not working out so well, is it? They lied to us. Imagine that. Politicians lie. Imagine that. But, you know, they do. But that thrill, you see, people who gamble, that gets a hold of you. And there's a thrill involved in that. Maybe this is it. Maybe I'll win this one, you see. And the past calls. The past calls. Come back. Come back. You might win this time. Maybe it's just the sight. Remember the lust of the eyes? Maybe it's just the sight of sin. One of the biggest, most growing problems right now in our culture is addiction to pornography. And the reason it's so big is because it's so easily accessible. In times past, you used to have to order it through the mail or go into the store. Now you can just pick up your phone and click, and there it is, just like that. Pick up your laptop, pick up your phone, pick up your device, and in comes the pornography. And it's the sight, the thrill of seeing that, you see. And we give that up for Jesus, but oh, it's calling us back, you see. Oh, the past calls back. Oh, how I would love to go back and do that again, you see. We've all been there. Now, I can go on and on and on with that. What is the thing that calls to you from your past? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking for anyone to come up here and offer their testimony, but I'm asking you to think about that. What is it from your past that calls to you? What lust of the eyes? What lust of the flesh? What pride of life? Our past sins have an appeal. That's why we did them in the first place. Felt good. Sounded good. It inflated our egos. It has an appeal. And that appeal is what Satan uses to draw us back. That's how he calls back to us. Take your Bibles now. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter reminds us of a very important truth here. He tells us it's time to wise up. It's time to clear your heads and think straight. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober. That means be sensible. Be clear thinking. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled. Why, Peter, why do I need to be sensible and why do I need to keep my eyes peeled? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you've ever been to the zoo and you've ever actually heard a real lion roar in your presence, that's kind of a terrifying sound. You'll hear it on TV, it doesn't sound so terrifying. But when you're in the zoo and there's one like 6 feet away, he's still in a cage, but you hear that roar, it's kind of terrifying. And he's trying to tell us here the devil is terrifying. He's out to eat you alive. He doesn't care about you. He's not interested in anything except condemning your soul and calling you back into your old way of life. And he's trying to devour you. But here's the antidote in verse 9. Resist him. Do you see that? And that's a command to you and to me. And what that says is, I can do this. That's what that means. God doesn't ask us to do something that we're not capable of doing. And he says, resist him. Oh, I can't. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can. When you say you can't, the devil's lying to you and you're buying into his lies. Yes, you can. You can resist. Resist him. Watch this. Steadfast in the faith. This is the faith. Hang with this right here. Don't ever leave this. You stay with this book right here. It tells you the right way. Steadfast in the faith. And here's a little comfort here. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, the past calls to me too. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The past calls to me too. It calls to all of us. We all have a past. We all have a record back there in the past. Things we've done. And that past calls to me. And it calls to all of us. That's the devil's end. That's his foot in the door, you see. Shut that door. Resist that devil, you see. That's the point. Our past often calls back to us. And sometimes we cave, don't we? We go back. And I want you to know, in no uncertain terms, when you answer that call of the past, you have sinned. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell you it's all right. It's not all right. You've made a mistake. And again, haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been there? And so when we answer the call of the past, we sin. Let's go back to our text and remember what Simon did in verse 19. That was the call of the past. Give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. That was the call of the past. That was point one. But look what Peter says to him in verse 20 and 21. Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, there's a couple of thoughts I want to pull out of those verses. First of all, Simon's going to perish. Now, Peter doesn't say that outright, does he? You notice how he implies that? This is what's called a necessary implication. He says, your money perish. Did you catch that? Your money perish. But then he added two little words, with you. Oh, don't miss that. Don't miss that. Your money perish with you, which means he's going to perish too. Remember John 3:16, by the way? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, should not perish. Simon believed in Jesus, but he's about to perish. You can perish. You can fall. That's the whole point. You can fall back into sin. You can answer the call. And when you answer the call of the past, you commit sin. That's the point we're trying to get you to see here. You thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. And that just coming from his old past, you see, that was what it was all about for Simon. Money and attention. Money and attention. And he thinks, well, it still works that way. No, not in the truth world. Not in God's world. It doesn't work that way. He says, you have neither part nor portion in this matter. It's not to you to have those powers. This is none of your business. You have no part or portion in this matter of that gift of the Holy Spirit. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. I hear people say sometimes, well, he did wrong, but his heart was right. Listen to me. If you do wrong, your heart is not right, period. It's not. That's what these verses are telling us. You say, well, he did the wrong thing, but his heart's in the right. No, no. If you did the wrong thing, your heart was not in the right place at that moment. It was not. And we've got to understand, we've got to come to grips with that. God is saying to you, I condemn what's in your heart. I condemn your intentions. I condemn your motives. And I condemn your actions. What you're doing here is not right. Now be warned. You might tell yourself, well, I'll answer the call once. But, you know, you remember that old commercial for Lay's potato chips? No one can eat just one. That's the way sin is. You go back, you kid yourself, I just once more. It's never just once more. It's another one and another one and another one and another one. And if you're not careful, you can go find yourself right back in a big old mess that's hard to get out of. Take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter's warning us here that we can get ourselves beyond the point of regret. You see, if you have a conscience and you have a sense of guilt, that's great, you know. I hear people say, don't lay a guilt trip on me. Guilt is good. Guilt keeps us in line. Guilt is something that, but if you get to the point where you don't feel guilty anymore, you're in big trouble. You have a hardened heart, you see. And Peter is writing about this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. He talks about people who've gone back into their old ways, which is what we're discussing here, answering the call of sin. He says, verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you heard the gospel, you know better, and you've escaped it, you got out of this. But he says they're again entangled in it. They didn't just step in it, now they're tangled up. They're all tangled up. They're again entangled and overcome. What he thought was a one-time trip to the past becomes overwhelmed, you see, by sin, by temptation. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Why is it worse? Why is it worse? Because the more you do that, the harder it is to break away. That's what the Hebrew writer was talking about when he said it's impossible to renew them unto repentance. What that means is it's impossible for you to renew them unto repentance. Why? Well, I'd been there and done that. I done tried it. And I like my sin better. If you get in that spot, if you get in that situation where you don't feel guilt anymore and you like your sin better, you're in big trouble. He says, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments. You know better and you did it anyway. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returned to its own vomit. How ugly is that? Now that's scripture, by the way. But think of the picture. We've all seen that, haven't we? Dog, bleh, turn right around and lick it up. That's nasty, isn't it? That's nasty. It makes us sick. But he said, that's what you look like to God. That's what, when you go back to the past and you hang out there and that's your thing, you're just lapping up that stuff you just got rid of. What are you doing? What are you thinking? You see, a sow having washed through a wallowing in the mire, just got that pig cleaned up. And now he's going back to it. And you get there, and you're in big trouble, especially if you get to the point where you don't feel anymore. Now, having said that, I want to say this. If you answer the call of the past, listen to me very carefully, you are not the first, and you won't be the last. I've done it before. I'd say if everybody in this room was honest, they'd say, yep, I've done it before. I've gone back to the past. I've answered the call of the past. You know, that's what John told us in 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It happens. For the Christian, it should be the exception and not the rule. It should not be something that happens on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis. It should be the exception and not the rule. But it does happen. You're not the first. Don't get too down on yourself. You're not the first and you won't be the last. It'll happen again to somebody else. That's the nature of living in the flesh. Sometimes we cave in. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. When we know better, we do it anyway. We answer that call. And so that brings me up to some good news here. When you answer the call, God provides a way back. Just stop and glory in that for just a second. Isn't that an amazing thing? This God, and you can read about it in your Bible, who all through the history of Israel, they're running back to idols all the time. And God is sending out prophets and saying, come back to me, come back to me. And they don't come back. And God to this day sends out messengers to us. Come back to me, be faithful to me, serve me. And sometimes we don't listen. And yet this loving God, this merciful God, this gracious God, he's still there with his arms outstretched. Come back. come back. I want you back. I want you with me. What a great and loving and wonderful Father we have up there in heaven. Let's go to Acts 8, verse 22. Remember, he told him in verse 21, your heart's not right, but there's a way for you to come back, Simon. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Yeah, you're in a bad fix. You're poisoned by bitterness. You're bound by iniquity. You're in a big mess. But if you'll repent and you'll confess and you'll come back, I'll forgive. That's the message, you see. And because of this relationship we have with Jesus, remember, Simon became a Christian, verses 12 and 13. Because of this relationship we have with Christ, we have some special privileges. Not the privilege to sin, but the privilege to come back. Turn over, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to deal with the whole chapter here. This is good stuff right here. John talks about this special relationship we have with the Lord. The term that John uses is fellowship. That just speaks of a relationship, me and God. Me and God in a relationship, hand in hand, you see. And he starts out with something concrete in verse 1. That which was from the beginning. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus has always existed. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on and our hands have handled. Now, John's one of the apostles, and he says we. He's talking about all the apostles here. And he's saying here, we've got firsthand testimony of this Jesus, okay? He's always existed, but he came into the world, and when he came into the world, we heard him. We sat at his feet and listened to him preach. We've seen him with our eyes and looked upon him. We've gazed upon the very Son of God himself. And our hand, we've touched the Son of God. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that. They've touched the Son of God. When I came into the auditorium this morning just before time for services to start, I reached up and patted my old buddy Chris on the shoulders. And they were about that hard, too. They were just about that hard. But think of that. Touching. Being able to do that to the Son of God. They touched the Son of God. The life was manifested. We've seen. We bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested us. That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? That you may have, there it is, fellowship with us. Big relationship, special privileges. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Don't get sad here. You've heard the call of the past, but there's a way back. Verse 5, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is the whole problem, isn't it? God is perfection. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. In the Greek language, it doesn't work in English, but in the Greek, it's a double negative. That's not correct in English. But in Greek, literally, it reads, in him there is no darkness, none. And so in English, it comes out no darkness at all. That's the proper way to translate that into English. But the point is, God is perfection. If we say we have fellowship with him, I got this relationship with God, but I walk in darkness, Simon, you, me sometimes, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you stop right there, you might get the impression he's saying you got to be perfect. Got to walk in the light as he is in the light. And you know, there's no darkness in God, so I got to be perfect. Well, verse 8 corrects that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The past calls, and sometimes we answer. And what's the way back? Verse 9. If we confess our sins. There's your way back. There it is. There's your way back. There's your path back to the Father. He is faithful and just. Notice that. You can count on God. He's promised you that he will forgive you. And so if you confess him, he is faithful. He will do it. And he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, in other words, if we refuse to confess, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Part of this relationship that we have by becoming Christians is that way back. Repentance of your sins. Confessing those sins to God. And praying that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. People in the world don't have that privilege. Only the Christian has that privilege, you see. That's something special, you see. But if you refuse God's way back, once again, you're in big trouble. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 5. Hold your spot here in 1 John 1, by the way. Turn over to 1 John 5. Look at this verse. I'm really interested in the latter part of the verse, the last sentence or two. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. Now here's the part I'm interested in. There is sin leading to death. I do not say he should pray about that. Don't waste your breath on that one. Sin leading to death. What is that? Well, remember what he said in 1 John 1, 9? That's why I told you to hold your place there. If we confess our sins, he forgives us. He cleanses us. The sin leading to death is the one you won't confess. It's the one you won't repent of. It's the one you won't give up on. It's you refusing to go back. That's the sin unto death. You don't want to be in that boat. If you make that mistake, and you will from time to time, if you hear the call of the pastor and you go back, then you need to find the way back to the Lord. Because if you don't find your way back to the Lord, you are in some serious trouble. The latter end is worse than the beginning. You're the sow that was washed and returned to her wallowing in the mire, you see. And that's critical for us to realize. Only you can fix that mistake. Only you can get on that pathway back to God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me when I hear the call of the past. We have to do this on our own. I want to bring in one more point here. Sometimes we need a little help. We struggle. We struggle. The past calls to us and we struggle. In verse 24 of Acts 8, remember what he said there in verse 22, repent and pray. In verse 24, look at what Simon says. Pray the Lord for me. Peter, I appreciate what you said, but I need some help. Pray the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. I don't want to perish. I don't want my heart to not be right in the sight of God. I don't want to be poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. I don't want any of that to come upon me. So I need your help, Peter. Pray the Lord for me. We need help from our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm convinced that's one of the main reasons God put us together in local churches. It bothers me when people cheapen relationship to a local church. Oh, it's not important. Don't need to do that. What's the matter with you? Of course you need to do that. Why do you think God put those in the Scripture? He wants us to be part of a local church. Why? Because we need each other. That's why. We help each other on the road to heaven. You can't do this by yourself. Sometimes we need one another. And with that in mind, take your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 5, and look at this with me. In verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I don't necessarily think, although I think it would include it, I don't necessarily think he's talking about coming before the church and confessing. I think it would be included in there. But I think the real thrust of what he's getting at here is that you find that little brother or sister in Christ that you are confident in, a close and trusted friend, a close and trusted confidant, and you seek their help. Confess your sin. You see, when you got that close friend, that close buddy in the congregation, you can hold one another accountable. You see that? It's not just you anymore. It's somebody looking out for you. Somebody that you trust and somebody you got a lot of confidence in, and you're looking out for you. Looking out for your brother, and he's looking out for you. And you find that person. This is not about broadcasting all of your transgressions all over the place. This is about finding that trusted person that you can confide in and say, I messed up again. Can you pray for me? Can you help me? And this is God's plan. This is God's plan. And God knows sometimes we need that extra help. We can't do this alone. And so let's put this together. With God's grace and your determination and your brethren's help, you can do this. You can avoid the call of the past. Or if you answer the call of the past, you can find your way back. You can do this with God's grace and your determination and the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can overcome the call of the past. Brethren, our past life is just one sin away. Think about that. Just one sin away, and you're right back in your past life. Be forewarned. But at the same time, let us not be discouraged. It happens. God has found a way or provided a way back. We need to seek our Savior. When we hear the call of the past, when we answer the call of the past, the solution is not to sit there in our sins. The solution is to get back to the Savior, to find that way back. And let me tell you this before I wrap this up. If you've heard the call of the past and you've answered the call of the past, you might very well feel defeated right now. I understand. You might feel weak, and you might feel small. But let me tell you something. God is willing to take you back if you do it His way. Repent and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. It's our hope today that if you are struggling with the call of the past, that you can find the strength to return to the Lord. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, and you need to respond in a public way, right now is the great time. And look at that song. Why not now? Why put this off? Why wait for a more opportune time when the opportune time is right here and right now? If you're not a Christian, you need to put Him on in baptism. Become a child of God, and then you have that special relationship. If you are a Christian, but you've heard the call of the past, come back to the Lord. Find the way back. Repent, confess, and pray. We're here. We'd love to pray with you and for you if that would be your desire. Won't you come now? While we stand and while we sing.